Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow, the last day of 2022, and down at Gulfstream, it is Pegasus Preview Day. I want to take this moment to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet, which will run through early April in Florida Derby. We'll be down for the Florida Derby, looking forward to that. Until then, we live vicariously watching some of the racing down there in the nice weather. But kind of a Gulfstream-centric program today. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Howard Kravitz, who has the HHH podcast. We'll talk a little Gulfstream racing with Howard, and we're going to kick things off with more Gulfstream conversation, being joined by our friend Ron Nicoletti. You see him in the paddock down at Gulfstream every racing day down there, and I thought we'd get some of his opinions on a really nice stakes day, Pegasus Preview Day. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well. Haven't talked in a while, but with the championship meet underway, I thought we'd pull you in to get some of your comments and watching, you know, doing the handicapping show in the afternoon here the last couple of weeks. It's been a little wet down there, but it seemed to have turned this week. The last couple of days look good, and I guess through the weekend we're supposed to have some nice weather. So update us on the weather situation this afternoon.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful down here now. You know, we got the low humidity. We're expecting 82 degrees today, and it looks like there's no rain in the forecast for the next 5 or 6 days, which we've been waiting for. We kept getting rain at night, you know, and the sort of babying the turf course a little bit till Pegasus week, but now it's full gone, and boy, that turf course is really looking good and holding up great. So we're going to have a lot more turf racing coming our way if we can keep the weather like this.
Excellent, because people love turf racing. Some nice turf stakes this afternoon. And again, we love to watch and live vicariously. I can't complain too much. Up here, we're 40s and 50s this week, so I can't complain for end of December, early January. But it's still nice to look down there and see the 80s and the turf racing and whatnot with the championship meet now underway. And it seems like all the big names are down there. They've been down for the past few weeks, jockeys and trainers that we expect down there. So it looks like over the next 4 months or so, you've got a great schedule coming up.
Yeah, it just started to warm up. You know, we opened the championship meet a little late, December 26th, and, you know, they had the trouble with the horses in Kentucky, and, you know, yeah. Now everybody seems to be getting into place, and, you know, just looking at the cards that we drew for next week, you know, just every turf race you just want to bet, you know what I mean? It's one of those, so getting real good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, let's get some ideas for this afternoon, because again, it's Pegasus Preview Day, so a lot of great stakes action. Some of these horses will be showing up a few weeks down the road on the Pegasus World Cup card. And let's kick off our conversation. Race number 7, the Suwannee River. Fillies and mares going a mile on the turf. And I was looking forward to talking about this race with you, because I said before we came on the air, pulled up your picks, and you can find Ron's picks every racing day at the Gulfstream Park website. And I said to you, this has to be your long shot of the day. And you said, yes. I pulled up a replay, maiden special weight. I'm going back to the beginning of the career. This was the first race of the career going back to August of 2021. It's going to be number 1, Diamond Wow, getting it done pretty nicely. Diamond Wow subsequently followed that up with a little bit of a stakes win on the synthetic of the follow-up to this race, and hasn't had a win since then. But at 20-1, you're taking a little bit of a pop this afternoon on Diamond Wow. Fill us in.
Yeah, you know, I just see so much speed in the race. And, you know, I just remember this horse running at, you know, that race at Keeneland, which was, you know, really good. So I just thought that this horse, maybe with a strong finisher of Joel Rosario, that this horse was going to run exceptionally well, you know. And I think I'm getting the perfect set. And if you cruise through the PPs of the race, it just looks like there's a ton of speed. And I just think the horse is going to run exceptionally well, you know. So, I mean, this horse's performance in the Jessamine back in October 21, this horse was from post 13, ran a hole in the wind. the horse is doing well, so I'm looking for a trip, and I got the guy I want on there, Joel Rosario.
Yeah, I was going to mention both of those things. You said doing well comes in off a bullet workout over at Palm Meadows. It seems to indicate she's on her toes, and then you get Joel Rosario for Patrick B. and Cone, so a couple of pluses there, and 20-1 on the morning line, and I'm guessing you're going to get a pretty fair price. I'm not sure where we'll go from the 20-1 exactly, but I think you're going to get some nice value.
You know, they always joke that I moved the line down here with my long shots. I don't know if that's absolutely true or not, but we'll see how it goes. I just thought this one would sit the trip. I've got to take a shot once in a while on the card.
I love it. And we've talked about it before when we've had you on the show. The Rod Nicoletti long shot plays are always worth a look. All right, let's move on to the Mr. Prospector. This one for 3-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs. This will be number race number 8 on the card. And I took a little shot. I went out to Seal Beach, and I thought that one was interesting. Luis Saez jumped on board last time for Mike Maker and got it done at Churchill. So I went there, but does get hung up outside a little bit. Horse to beat is going to be Sibelius, and I pulled up the replay going back to September at Pimlico, and they'll like the fuse. Number 5 is Sibelius, and that race, as I say, that's 3 races back. Last time ran a decent little second at Churchill, but Sibelius, morning line favorite, and does seem like a logical player in here. I'm taking a little bit of a shot against, but I saw you were tilting towards Sibelius Philisen.
Yeah, you know, and I'm keen off that race that you mentioned, the $100,000 like the fuse at Pimlico in September was just a great performance. Previous winner at the distance, Junior Alvarado, is good. This horse has got that push-button speed, which I like. I used Steel Sunshine in second, who was really sharp, winning the 7 furlong carry back stakes here. And, you know, when I handicap races like this, I like to see horses that run well at the 7 furlong distance. And then Uncle Ernie, you know, a 2-time winner at the distance for John Service, and his horse has been really doing well. I heard he got a -4 on some sheets and stuff like that. So for me, Sibelius, Steel Sunshine, and Uncle Ernie.
And I think this is that kind of a race. I had Uncle Ernie in my mix, too. Steel Sunshine is one that I've heard some other people kind of playing around with. That one's 15-1 on the morning line. As I say, I went Seal Beach at 8-1. I put Dean Delivers underneath. I have Uncle Ernie in the second spot, and then Dean Delivers at 15-1. I think it's the kind of race where maybe you can play around a little bit. Certainly if you're playing some of the, you know, the Exactas Tri Supers in here. I think it's kind of a fun race.
You know, and Big, I forgot to mention that the number 4 horse in that race, Papa Cap, is coming out. So people were going to use that, so there was the scratch of Papa Cap in that race. So I think that changes the race around a little bit. So, you know, the horse was doing well, and a lot of people, I think he's second choice on the morning line. So just for the fans out there, Papa Cap is out.
Good to know. Thank you. All right, race number 9 this afternoon, the Fort Lauderdale, 3-year-olds and up, mile and an eighth on the turf. I, you know, we did, before we came on, we did our handicapping show, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take a little bit of a pop against Colonel Liam, and I may be crazy, but, you know, won the Pegasus World Cup Turf last January, then went to Dubai, ran 9th, hasn't been seen since then. They wanted that race the other day. They couldn't get it off the AE list. I'm taking a little shot against, and as I say, I may be crazy. I'm going to use Shadow Sphinx in here. I also have City Man in the mix, but I also said I may look like a crazy person because Colonel Liam is just very good. I'm going to pull up the Pegasus World Cup turf from last January. He's going to be the number 6 horse and wins pretty easily. I mean, it's Todd Pletcher and Irod Ortiz. So I'm guessing Colonel Liam is going to be a single on a lot of people's pick tickets this afternoon.
Well, I interviewed Irod yesterday for our TV show, and, you know, and I asked him about the outside post and all that. And he said this horse is just so good over. He said that in Dubai, didn't like the softer going that day. He says he's going to love this course. And he said, you know, this horse, if he responds to me, it doesn't matter where he is, he's going to win. He's that good. So take that into consideration. Yeah. You know, jockey's not going to say my horse stinks. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, he just thinks he's going to run. When I had City Man in there and King Claws on the outside, you know, I thought it was going to run well there for Mike Maker and Jose Ortiz. You know, I just thought Colonel Liam, I'm not going to single him like you are, but I'm going to use him for sure.
Yeah, 3 for 3 at Gulfstream, and it's just going to be fun to see what he does. But regardless of what he does, it's going to set him up nicely for the Pegasus coming up.
A three-time winner.
Yeah, looking for the three-peat there. All right, and finally, let's take a look at the Harlan's Holiday. 3-year-olds and up going a mile and a 16th. And I'm with you looking at your selections, and I think a lot of other people. This may be a single for folks, although on pick tickets, I may throw Simplification in as well. But I think O'Connor, that's the one I have on top. We're going to pull up his United States debut effort. And I mentioned on the handicapping show earlier, I'm usually skeptical of these South American horses. I want them to come up and prove it. Well, he did. We're watching the stretch run here. Came up and back on October 16th, won pretty nicely with a 99 buyer. And so it looks like O'Connor is going to be the one to beat again this afternoon off of this effort.
Yeah, he's the new fastest horse that ever lived type thing, you know, when he came in. And I spoke to Edgar. My job yesterday was interviewing all the jockeys. And he said that, I said, well, you expected that kind of race. And he said, Sappy Joseph Jr. was so high on this horse. And he told him, you know, put him in the sixth path, as you can see there, and just cruise around the track. He was that good. So, you know, and the horse that came out of that race, you know, that ran in America, my name skips my mind right now, came back and ran exceptionally well. We'll be back on Sunday. And he just looked like the one to beat. And I threw in South Bend, you know, second at the distance in the Grade 3 Harlan's Holiday last year, Billy Mott. And then Skippy Longstocking, I got some interest in too. So, you know, but O'Connor might be my single in the Rainbow Six.
Yeah, and again, the replay we looked at was not the I think I wrote down the wrong race, but take my word for it. Oh. O'Connor won by 6 in his race. The replay we looked at was a lot closer than that. No, O'Connor looked very good in the United States debut. Yeah. I'm going to take a little pop, as they say, underneath with Simplification too, who never did last year or earlier this year live up to that performance in the Fountain of Youth. But on the return to Gulfstream, he may be a little bit interesting for Antonio Sano.
Yeah, you know, just didn't fare that well in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, you know. But he ran okay in the PA Derby, and he was third behind Skippy Longstock. That's a good long shot. I like that. That might work, you know, in that race. You see if there's a scratch in that race.
Yeah.
No scratches in that race, so it's good to go.
Very good. Hey, Ron, always appreciate the conversation. And with the championship meet underway, we will certainly talk again over the next few months. And we will see you late March, early April when we come down for our Florida Derby visit. Looking forward to that as well. But as I say, always enjoy watching you in the afternoons in the paddock as we live vicariously. So again, Ron, appreciate it. We'll talk again.
You got it. Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it. From Ron Nicoletti, Gulfstream Park. Again, a Pegasus preview day. Really nice lineup of stakes races this afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. And again, coming up a little bit later on, Howard Kravitz will join us from the HHH podcast. A couple of nights ago on the podcast, he had Brian Addo on, and they were talking the pick five today at Gulfstream. So I thought, well, let's have Howard come in, and we'll take a look at the pick five. So that'll come up bottom of the hour or so. But in the meantime, we will take a little bit of a break. We'll come back. We'll do some news and notes here on the last day, New Year's Eve, 2022. So we'll come back with some news and info, and then some more Gulfstream talk coming up shortly. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform. And best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget, last day of the year means mandatory pays in New York, and there's a $22,000 carryover in the Pick 6. So keep that in mind for today at the Big A. Just pulled up the Dave Granted Twitter feed, and we talked a little bit about it earlier on the handicappers report, but Dylan Davis clinching yesterday after a victory on the card, the rider title, the annual, the year-long NYRA title for 2022. He has 185 wins for the year, or did at that point. I didn't pull up the results for the rest of the day, but with the number of mounts left for that, for Dylan and Manny Franco, who was second, Dylan clinched yesterday. So congratulations to Dylan Davis again on the 2022 NYRA jockey title. As far as this current meet, which ends today, Kendrick Carmouche is ahead of Dylan Davis with 33 wins, Dylan Davis with 30. So it's possible, and I thought I wrote that. I think they both had enough mounts that things could switch up. I think they both had, I want to say Dylan had 8 today and Kendrick had 7, something like that. So it's possible to switch things up, but Kendrick comes into the day with 33 versus Dylan 30 at this current meet. But again, Dylan Davis for the year gets the NYRA title, so congratulations to him. As far as the trainer side of thing at the current meet, Linda Rice has 20, Chad Brown has 15, Rob Atrus has 12. Chad only has one in today at Aqueduct, so Linda Rice has solidified the trainer's title at this current meet. And I didn't see the trainer's title for the year. I'm sure that'll come out in some fashion over the next couple of days. We'll update you on that. And I just did see in my notes, yeah, Dylan Davis has 8 today. Kendrick has 7. So theoretically, the jockey title could switch up, but you have to come in with a 3-win lead. it will be a challenge for Dylan, but again, he winds up getting a nice crown scoring for the entire year. I did pull up the leaders for the year, jockeys and trainers. And on the jockey side, who do you think? Can you guess on the jockey side? I mean, nationally now, the leading jockey, think about it for a second. You should only need a second. Yes, it's Irad Ortiz with 322 wins. Vincente Del Cid with 277. Man, that's a pretty good margin. 1,300-plus mounts for Irad this year. He won with 322, 24.4%. Vincente Del Cid, I was unfamiliar with him, so I looked up. He's a Louisiana guy, rides at Delta and Louisiana Downs. He had 277. In third, there's a tie, Luis Saez and Juan Diaz. A tie at this point. Don't forget, there's still today to go. Obviously, Irad is far enough ahead that he has put the title in his back pocket for the year. But things could switch up a little bit underneath. As I say, in third, Luis Saez and Juan Diaz. And again, I was unfamiliar with Juan. Looked him up. He rides in Puerto Rico, Camarero. But Luis Saez in third, tied with Juan Diaz. In fifth, Tyler Gaffleone with 265. Paco Lopez, Jamie Rodriguez, Flavian Prat, Harry Hernandez, Jose Ortiz, Juan Hernandez, Pablo Morales. They kind of wind out the top 10, top dozen or so. But it is in the bag, in the books for Irad Ortiz. He, you know, he can add to the total. Nobody is catching him, though, for 2022. On the trainer's side of things for 2020, this one's kind of easy, too. Think about it for a second. Probably only need a second. Steve Asmussen, 591. Started through yesterday. So, again, there's still today to go. But started 2,146, won with 591, 18% win percentage. And he has just clearly an insurmountable lead over Carl Broberg. Steve Asmussen won 591 this year. Broberg, 438. And I'm just I am revising that a little bit because, and that was I looking at, okay, they have starts and starters, so this is closer than I was making it out to be. It is actually. Starts, he did, Asmussen did have 2,146, but it was with 591 horses. So starts and starters, that not obviously listed on the jock side of things. So there's an extra column here. So this is closer. It's probably insurmountable going into the last day, but it is much closer than I just gave it, the lineup for wins this year for Steve Asmussen, 380. Carl Broberg, 372. So, again, the 18% was correct for Steve Asmussen with 380 wins. Carl Broberg with 372. So it's an 8-win margin. I suppose it's doable with the number of horses these guys tend to start. Third, Jamie Ness. Fourth, Chad Brown. Todd Pletcher, Brad Cox. Jonathan Wong, Mike Maker, Mark Cassie. They're rounding out your top, 7, 8, 9 in there. But Steve Asmussen, again, with 380 wins going into the last day, currently in the lead. And again, with an 8-win lead, you'd expect that it'll probably hold up through today. But we shall see. One more day of racing left in 2022. Mentioned it earlier on the handicapping show. Trackus, as I said, going the way of the dodo bird, a little bit disappointing because I thought Trackus, you know, with the chicklets, I thought that was a great innovation. I thought it made it far easier to follow races and whatnot. I think a lot of people appreciated their timing and, you know, you could go to most tracks websites and pull up the Trackus information and ground lost or the extra ground run by some horses was notable. Barry Weisbord, the chairman of Trackus, said basically Equibase backed a lower-cost service and we couldn't make it work. It was costing us a fortune and we were just losing money. There was no path forward. We offered Equibase to take it over. They opted not to. So Equibase had teamed up with a European-based company called EGPS. We'll see. You know, that you read the Dave Greinig article from, what, a couple days ago, 3 days ago, and it seems like, you know, the Equibase folks are kind of saying work in progress type of thing. So we'll see how it works out. The timing, an important part of the game, and again, we will see how things shake out now with Trackus out and this EGPS in at many of the tracks around the country. Another article and another piece of news that you may have noticed if you were watching the past couple of days after the holiday break in New York when they came back. Chris Griffin now announcing down at Aqueduct. This had been mentioned since the end of Saratoga, really. John Embriel, semi-retirement. He'll still be calling the Belmont meets, Belmont Spring, Belmont Fall. Chris Griffin will have the Aqueduct meets. So he kicked off this past Thursday when they came back from their holiday break. Frank Miramati will jump in for Saratoga. But Chris Griffin who also now with Miramonte doing Saratoga, there was an opening at Monmouth, so Chris Griffin is going to have Monmouth Park as well. So he'll be doing Aqueduct in the summer. He'll do some Monmouth. Got his start on the Northern California Fair Circuit and then went to Gulfstream Park West, Portland Meadows. Sam Houston, I remember him down at Sam Houston, which he was at just before taking over at Parks for a longtime announcer, Keith Jones. Did a nice job everywhere he went, did some substitute announcing in New York, but now he's the New York guy at Aqueduct. So, and again, he's been there for the past couple of days doing a nice job down there. Also, the article, another Dave Greinig article talking about this, Griffin starting in New York, said before he got into calling horse racing, Chris Griffin spent 6 years as the voice of the Harlem Globetrotters. So there's an interesting start to the career. All right, we shall take a break. When we come back, Howard Kravitz will join us. He has the HHH podcast, which I recommend. They do a great job. You can find it on YouTube. And as I say, a couple of nights ago, our colleague Brian Natto was a guest, and they went over the pick five today at Gulfstream. So I thought I'd reach out to Howard, and we'll go over the pick five and toss out some ideas for the pick today at Gulfstream Park. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Brown. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow in the studio. We are joined now, as promised, by our friend Howard Kravitz. We had him sit in with us up at Saratoga on the backstretch and talked a little bit about the HHH podcast. And as I said before the break, I was watching Thursday night as I was doing a little work, seeing him go over the pick five today at Gulfstream. So I thought, hey, let me reach out and we'll go over the pick five today here on Racing Across America. Howard, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Great to be on the show once again. Really appreciate it.
Happy to have you on board. And before we get into the pick five, I said when I contacted you, I wanted you to tout the podcast a little bit because I've told you before, and every once in a while I'll send you an email or shoot you a text as I watch the show, but I tend to finish up in here and go home and eat some dinner and then sit in front of the computer at night and do some handicapping for you know, the next day or 2 days ahead or 3 days ahead. And a lot of times I'll watch things on YouTube, and when I hit the front page, if you guys have a current episode streaming, that comes up front and center. And so I watch a lot of the episodes. I highly recommend it to folks. So, again, just take a minute to tout the podcast and describe it to people a little bit.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your support. And, by the way, Happy New Year to all the viewers and listeners out there. I started the HHH Racing Podcast at the beginning of 2021, so it's about 2 years old. Our flagship shows are Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, but we also have shows earlier in the week, sometimes Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays. We're going to be starting a new show, actually, a new segment on Wednesdays that's going to be geared towards a bit of a younger audience and a little more relaxed kind of atmosphere. So highly recommend people check that out. But the best way for people to find about the podcast is simply go to the YouTube search bar and type in HHH Racing Podcast, and then hit that notification bell, Seth, because that will tell people when our shows will be coming on live on YouTube. So we're very proud of it. We've had a lot of excellent guests on, handicappers. We just had Chad Brown on last month, which was fantastic. So we're growing by leaps and bounds every day, and really feel like we give excellent material and have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and your co-hosts, Pete Visco and Paul Halloran. I'm familiar with Paul, of course, up at Saratoga. He does some work with our buddies at the Saratoga Special, the Clancy Brothers and Tom Law. You guys all do a great work, and as I say, every once in a while I'll send you a text or an email and say, boy, tonight's show was a lot of fun. And I did that just about a month ago, and I looked it up so people can find it. I talked about it here on TV a couple days later, but it's episode 205. You talked to some of the BCBC contest winners, Drew Coatney, who won this year, Matt Miller, and Marshall Graham. Always interested to see what Marshall has to say. But I'll tell people to go back and look it up. Again, it's episode 205 from about a month ago. It really intriguing to pick the brains of these contest players. And I thought it wasn't just interesting from the point of view of here's how these people play the contest. It was interesting to hear Matt say, you got to go in and really have a goal. And then he kind of translated that to maybe just an everyday racing kind of play around like that, and you can learn the contest theory. But that was a really fun episode that, as I say, kind of picked the brains of some of the top contest players in the country, and I really thought it was well worth a watch and a listen.
Well, coming from you, I really appreciate that. I'm actually fairly new to the contest world. I've only been playing for about, you know, a 3 years or so, and I've had some wonderful successes. I had my biggest success ever in March when I finished second in the Ultimate Betting Challenge and had a very nice payday and qualified for the Pegasus Betting Challenge coming up next month, and also the NHC in March. And I'm a high school math teacher, as I believe you know, full-time. And so I like to teach, and I think this game is about learning and improving and getting better, even though, you know, I've been handicapping for almost 30 years now, and you've been in the game a long time. There's always something new to learn, and having people on like Matt Miller and Drew Coatney and, you know, so many sharp, Marshall Graham, of course, and others, you know, you'd be silly not to listen to these people and find out the best way not only to play contests, but, you know, to pick winners as well. So I do appreciate that. That was a really fun episode.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, you can follow their the YouTube channel there, HHH Racing Podcast. As I say, well worth the visit. All right. Again, a couple nights ago, as I was watching, you and our colleague Brian Addo and your co-host went over the pick five at Gulfstream today. So I thought we would jump in and maybe take a look ourselves. Give some of your ideas. I'll toss some ideas out as well. And we'll start things out. Pick five sequence today starts in race number 7, the Suwannee River. They're a mile on the turf for the fillies and mares. Pulled up a replay going back to Belmont Park on June 5th. The number 4 is going to be Lady Rockstar. And I'm just looking here. Leaves from the 10 post this afternoon. Although, as I say that, there is a scratch in here of the number 9, Touch of Class. So Lady Rockstar will move in a little bit. We have the same numbers. I've just got them in juggled up order. I went 7-3-1-10 in this race, but I think you're tilting a little bit towards Lady Rockstar. Give us some of your thoughts in the Suwannee River.
There seems to be a lot of speed in this race. The number one, Scottish Star, 5-2 for Fletcher, very live. You know, size will be aggressive from the rail. You've got Bay Storm, who's stretching out first time for Jonathan Thomas. She's going to show speed as well. So I think there is some speed. Stolen Holiday is not slow for Shrip McGee. He's the number seven. I think Lady Rockstar will be able to tuck in for Irad. I mean, Seth, if Irad broke from the 20 hole, he'd be able to find a way to tuck in and get a great trip. Brendan Walsh did say that he's a bit concerned. This might be too sharp for Lady Rockstar off the layoff, that she might prefer a bit longer. That last race at Monmouth is a total toss to me. There's no speed that developed. I think Irad's going to make a big run late. Will be enough to get there? Not sure, but I'll take Lady Rockstar on top. And I have number one, Scottish Star, getting that ground-saving trip up close as in second. I'm a little bit against Bay Storm. I just don't like betting a lower-priced horse doing something they've never done before, which is stretching out. But she's very good right now and very capable as well. So I'm going 10-1-7 in the Suwannee River.
Very good. And we'll show a ticket a little bit later on, but it looks like you're using all of those in your on your pick ticket. If you put together a cavemanish ticket.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-3-7-10. I don't have anything real clever in this race in terms of a long shot. I think the logicals will most likely win. I would just use those four, and I should be okay to get through that leg to start the pick five.
And I'm going to use the 1-3 and the 7, so I'm leaving your top pick out, and I must say I am a little concerned about that. But we'll see how it works out. And, again, we'll show some tickets actually at the end. All right, let's jump back to the racing here with the eighth race, the Mr. Prospector, 3-year-olds and up going 7 furlongs. I'm going to use Seal Beach in here at 8-1. Saez got on board last time at Churchill and won nicely for Mike Maker. So I'm going to go in that direction. But watching the podcast the other night, you're using Steel Sunshine, and it looked like, despite the 15-1 morning line on the show the other night, Steel Sunshine was getting a little bit of juice, and I'm going to pull up the replay, Ellis Park, two races back, the Ellis Park Derby. Steel Sunshine is going to be the number 8 horse here. Subsequently ran 5th in the Oklahoma Derby. But talk a little bit about your thoughts in the Mr. Prospector and Steel Sunshine.
Well, this race, to me, this is the chaos race of the pick five. There is a ton of early speed in this race, Seth. And every time we seem to say that, all the jocks will see that in the PPs and some will wire the field. But I'd have a hard time believing that's going to happen here. There's just speed everywhere. I counted 5 or 6 horses that want to be on or near the lead. Steel Sunshine is 15-1 morning line. And by the way, on our show, a top pick also by Brian Nadal, of course, very well known on your show as well. He is a little bit slow on the figs, Steel Sunshine. There's no doubt about it. But he is the best closer in a race with a ton of speed. He's coming off the layoff. He only has a few points to really gain. I love the post here. I love the 7 furlongs as well, Seth, because many of these are probably better going 6. And Bobby DeBona and Lionel Reyes, this combination, is absolutely fantastic at Gulfstream. I think Steel Sunshine's probably going to go off half of that price, probably more like 7-1 or 8-1. But I think this is an excellent horse to use, Seth, as a reverse key play in a trifecta. And I talked about this with you on the show over the summer. This is a great horse to use in all spots in your trifecta. Use him on top. Use him only in second. Use him only in third. It does not cost that much in a trifecta. And I think you can get a lot of value. So Steel Sunshine will be making a big run late. Is he good enough? We'll see. But I think he's got upside. He's a progressive 3-year-old. And I absolutely love this horse at a price in the Mr. Prospector.
Yeah, and I like that trifecta thought, because we've talked about that and similar plays when we get, you know, we're doing the handicapping shows in here around Breeders' Cup time, and that's one of the angles. If you have a price do that. A little, put them in first, put them in second, put them in third, and play some horses around if you think you got a price that can hit the board. And so that's an interesting angle there. And again, looking at your ticket, you are, you said this chaos race, and you're going a little bit deep in here in leg number two.
Yeah, I'm using six horses. I'm using 3, 5, 7, 8, 11, 12. A few other quick things I want to mention here. Seal Beach, you mentioned, I have no idea where that race came from last time. He showed more speed. He got a dream trip, though, and actually knocked me out of a big contest when he won. So I'm going to play him anyway, even though he upset me last time. The number 7, Prevalence, is probably the most talented horse in this field, Seth, but boy, is this horse inconsistent and always, it seems to me, needs things to go his way. And with Uncle Ernie breaking just to his outside, I don't think he's going to get that nice stalking trip. I'm using Prevalence, but I have a lot of reservations about him. And I guess my second choice would be Seal Beach because I do like the stalking outside trip that he's going to get. I think 7 furlongs hits him right between the eyes. But there are a lot of horses that can win this race. I'm hoping to get a price here in the Mr. Prospector.
Well, you have Sibelius on the ticket. I have him down in my fourth slot, but certainly if he gets back to the races 3 and 4 back, he becomes the one to beat in here.
Yeah, no question. But I'm a little bit concerned about the distance. It looks like in those two races you mentioned, the Light Diffuse, the Pimlico, and then the optional 62 claimer where he, you know, freaked at Saratoga, those were very comfortable trips going 6 furlongs. I don't think there's going to be anything comfortable about this race today. So Sibelius obviously can win. Prevalence can win. Those are two of the lower prices in this race. But I think this is a race you need to go price shopping, and chaos could very well ensue here going 7 furlongs.
And again, as Ron mentioned earlier, Papa Cap scratched in that race. Let's move on to race number 9, the Fort Lauderdale 3-year-olds, up mile and eighth on the grass. And I have it 4, 7, 12, and 13. I'm going to use Shadow Sphinx as perhaps a crazy person. I have a couple over Colonel Liam. I said earlier on the handicapping show, he may make me look crazy. And we showed the Pegasus World Cup turf with Ron, and that was off a layoff. He may just run away and hide from this group. But I thought, if you're going to take a shot against, today might be the day. I will certainly have him on my pick ticket. But I thought Shadow Sphinx was interesting. And I pulled up a replay of Simplification in the Fountain of Youth. And I'm just checking my notes here. Actually, I got the replay of Street Ready. Excuse me. I have the replay of Street Ready coming up because I think you like Street Ready. So we'll watch Street Ready at Keeneland back in October, getting it done here. And as I say, I'm taking a little pop against Colonel Liam, but you like Street Ready, and you have him on your ticket as well. So we may be thinking similarly. This is a spot where maybe you could take a little bit of a pop against Colonel Liam.
Listen, Colonel Liam is by far the horse to beat. But, Seth, doesn't it feel like this is the day, as you mentioned, you're supposed to try to beat him here? It's one of those weird handicapping situations where he's clearly a horse to beat. But there are some question marks. Todd Pletcher, as I'm sure you know, was hoping to get an allowance race into him before the Pegasus, and now they've got to face much tougher spot here from the 12 hole with the rails out off a big layoff, not cranked up, you know, for this spot. I'm totally against Colonel Liam on the win end. Of course, he is the horse to beat. I'm going with Street Ready, as you mentioned, on top. You know, this Ian Wilkes trained horse is getting better and better. He's got tactical speed. His figs really are not that far off of Colonel Liam, if you look carefully. It looks like they've pointed to this spot. And he's also getting in for 121 pounds. Now, Seth, I'm not a big weight guy, but it's worth mentioning because Colonel Liam has 2 more pounds than that. And my second choice, City Man, is in for 126. So if you are a weight person, that's something you should, you know, take into consideration. But I think Street Ready's got a big shot. I've got City Man in second. Little bit concerned, as are the connections of City Man, about the fact that he has not run at Gulfstream before. And also, you know, the weight might be a concern, although he's won at 126 before. So I'm going 1-7-12. And Seth, you'd be happy to know, guess who my fourth choice is in this race? That's right, number four, Shadow Sphinx. I don't think it's crazy at all. Michael Maker and Paco Lopez at a price? Why not, Seth?
Yeah, as I say, coming off the close-up second-place finishes recently, just seems to be coming in and moving in the right direction, and you're getting a big price, which I think is going to hold up, particularly with Colonel Liam in here. I think everybody else will offer some value. So if we can potentially get by that one, I think that knocks up the play very nicely. I'm going to use 4-7-12 in there. So we're somewhat similar. We're certainly similar with our thinking in that Colonel Liam. And, yeah, I mentioned that earlier as well. For folks who don't know, they wanted Colonel Liam, what was it, about a week ago? They were trying to get that race, and he was on the AE, and they didn't get that one. So that played into my thinking as well a little bit. All right, let's move on to the Harlan's Holiday. Three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th. Here's the race where I pulled up the replay for simplification, because earlier with Ron, we looked at O'Connor. And O'Connor, I know you like O'Connor, and it looks like you're going to single him on your caveman-type ticket. I don't have any real argument with that. I have him on top. I'm going to go too deep in here and use simplification. So I wanted to go back and show the Fountain of Youth and simplification, the number two horse. I hope with the return to Gulfstream, he can get back to this. I don't know whether that's possible or not. He certainly hasn't lived up to it since then. But I'm going to go, as I say, too deep in here. But you, and I think plenty of people, will single O'Connor, who looked really good in the United States debut.
Yeah, O'Connor was absolutely fantastic. Now, he didn't face a lot in that race, fair enough. So this is a big step up in class. But he faced a real nice horse in Chile called Super Corinto, who ran a bang-up second at Gulfstream about 2 weeks ago, I believe, and is also planning on running in the Pegasus. So I think there is some class here. You would think the distance might be a bit of a problem for O'Connor before his last race, but this race today is the same as the last, and he absolutely blew by that field with ease. I talked about on the show on Thursday, I do have one concern, and that is the rail could be a little bit tricky. Although he'll be able to save ground, there's always a chance that if he doesn't break great, he could get shuffled back or checked or whatnot. So I would almost prefer O'Connor to be a little bit wider on the outside and in the clear in this race today, which is a bit counterintuitive to what some people might believe. But I think he's clearly the horse to beat. And I think he's a real faster in the Pegasus next month at a distance, Seth, that would be better for him than today. Simplification's has a shot in here. I think Junior's going to send. I think he's a touch below O'Connor, but if he gets the right trip, I think he can he can win. And then the 2 and the 7 are ones you have to look at. Skippy Longstocking, although I think wants to go a little bit further. And then what do you do with Pioneer Medina, yeah, Seth? I mean, this is Pletcher at a price. He's very inconsistent. He has trouble breaking, but maybe he's an improving 3-year-old. If he puts it together, I wouldn't completely rule him out. But I think O'Connor is clearly the horse to beat here. I'm going 1-4-7 in the Harlan's Holiday.
Yeah, I did not know what to do with Pioneer of Medina, because earlier in the year I kind of liked him. But like simplification, he didn't quite live up to that. But the win last time says maybe he's going back in the right direction. And as you say, Pletcher at Gulfstream, be interested to see what he does today. But I did not use Pioneer of Medina. But again, a little scared leaving him off. The finale today, the 11th, optional claimer, non-winners of one other than a mile and a 16th on the turf. Horse to beat is going to be Market Segmentation. I pulled up the replay from his last race. Market Segmentation will be the number 5 and will run second as the 5-2 favorite. That was only start number 2. That was off a long layoff. I have this one underneath. I put Mose on top. I'll use those two on my pick ticket, the 9 and the 11. It's, you know, Market Segmentation. It's Chad. It's Klarovich. I'm the most likely winner, perhaps, but the gaps in the records, you know, the starts so far, and the post position also was a little bit of a concern. So I'm willing to take a shot against. I'm going to use the 9 and the 11. Looking at your ticket, you have a similar strategy, it looks like.
Yeah, market segmentation is clearly the horse to beat. But there are some concerns. That wide post you mentioned, she's been off a little bit. The race that you just showed there, she ran huge against Salima, another nice Chad Brown horse, who actually we talked about that filly on the show with Chad last month. She didn't run well in the American Oaks of Sandia. She was sent to the lead. I'm really not sure why she didn't fire. But in the race after the one you just showed, she won the Winter Memories with a 90 buyer. So Marcus Segmentation lost a very good one last time. The horse I'm interested in a bit here at a price is the number 5, Texas Shuffle. Completely tossed out the last at Churchill. As we all know, that turf was goofy and a lot of horses didn't handle it well. Texas Shuffle's off a layoff for Shug, training very well, has tactical speed and Tyler G. To me, that's the horse that can upset the apple cart. But the number 11, Market Segmentation, with any decent trip, should win this race. But I'm a bit dubious. I'm not going to single her. I'm going to use others.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. Going to be interesting to see how that race plays out. All right, I think the guys have a graphic, and I pulled up, as I say, your caveman ticket from the podcast the other night. I put up a ticket myself. Yours is on the top. Mine is on the bottom here, and again, it kicks off in race number 7. Kind of go through your sequence and how you might play this with a caveman ticket, and you can also toss out thoughts if you were doing more of an ABC type of a thing.
Well, I just wanted to mention to the viewers that I usually do play an ABC or a weighted kind of ticket. So the one you see on the screen right now is just a straight caveman. I would not use the number 5 Texas Shuffle equally in the last race as Market Segmentation. But you can see on the screen there is $72. To me, it's fascinating, Seth. Everyone has to decide what do you do with the 3 likely favorites, Colonel Liam, O'Connor, and Market Segmentation. To me, Seth, O'Connor is the most likely winner of those 3. And one of the main reasons is I'm just more privy to singling dirt races. I just think turf races, a lot of things happen. You know, the horses get checked more often. They have to find that specific hole at the right time. And I'm very dubious about Market Segmentation, especially Colonel Liam. So I'm the single O'Connor, thinking he's really ready to roll once again. And I also just like to say, Seth, that we have a fantastic tip sheet on the HHH Racing podcast. People can go to the website that we have, hhhracingpodcast.com, and check it out. It's through Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/HHH Racing Podcast. We give picks out on every Saturday. It's only $4 every Saturday, Seth, and we've given out many fantastic pick fives and spot plays. So check out our power plays on the HHH Racing Podcast through Patreon as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention the power plays. I'm glad you did and touted that also. Folks may be interested in that. We both tossed out some $72 tickets, and I'm in the same boat as you. I didn't single any of the favorites, thinking, get by one or two of those, this thing could balloon up very nicely, because I think all those favorites are going to take an awful lot of action. I think it's a fun sequence this afternoon. And Howard, hopefully we gave out some good information. So I appreciate the visit. And again, I tell people to swing by your YouTube channel and check out the podcast regularly. I think a lot of great information is given out there. And we will check in again down the road.
Seth, it's a real pleasure. Happy New Year to everyone. I look forward to being on again and seeing you next summer at Saratoga for sure.
Absolutely. Sounds good. We'll have you back on the backstretch as well, and we'll be rooting for you at the various contests around. Talk a little bit about contest play, because we kind of alluded to it earlier. You said you're kind of new to the contest game. I always say the contests are fun. I play the low rollers up at Saratoga. I've won that a few times. That's fun. I'm trying to get out to Vegas, the NHC. I just don't get the chance to play in enough contests to get a real solid chance to qualify, but I would love to go out there. We were out there covering it a couple of times, and it really is like a horse players convention, a lot of fun. But the one thing I say about contest play, I think it improves your handicapping because I think you often have to think a little bit differently and really search for some value. So I think ultimately if folks jump in some contests, they will improve their handicapping.
There's no question about it. I prefer live money contests as opposed to the $2 mythical pick and pray, because live money contests is how you would normally bet, you know, on a weekend. But it's definitely improved my handicapping. You hit it the nail right on the head. It helps you with value and really how to manage your money, because it's a lot more than just handicapping. So hopefully we'll see you on the top of the leaderboard as well in a contest. I'd love to battle with you in first place. That'd be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Howard, appreciate it again. And as I say, we'll talk down the road.
Great. Thanks a lot, Seth. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Howard Kravitz, again, the HHH podcast. Go over to the YouTube channel and you know, check out their podcast, check out the archives. As I say, the BCBC players, that was a fun episode with Drew Coatney, who won this year, Matt Miller and Marshall Graham. It was fascinating to kind of hear them, their strategies for contest play and strategies overall. And again, that was episode 205. It aired about a month ago, but again, I watched the live broadcast a lot. They typically start at about 8 o'clock, and right when I'm sitting at the computer doing some handicapping. So it's fun to have that going while I'm doing my own handicapping as well. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, the last Saturday of 2022. We mentioned it earlier. Hey, everybody have a safe holiday. I mean, go out and have some fun if that's your game plan for tonight, but keep it safe because we want you back here tomorrow morning. I'll be back in, I guess about an hour and a half or so to kick off OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Plenty of good racing coming up. Aqueduct, Gulfstream, much, much more. That Gulfstream card, again, a lot of fun. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas for later on today on the Gulfstream card. All right. Want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship during the championship meet. Championship meet running through early April. So over the next few months, we appreciate the sponsorship of Gulfstream Park for this programming and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. All right, going to wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. And again, we'll be back in about an hour and a half, a little more than that, for OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.